Art to Atim, John Keats, Introduction. John Keats was born in 1791 as the son of Thomas Keats, a stable-keeper, and Francis Keats. He was raised in Moorfields in London and attended the Clark School in Enfield. After the death of his father due to an accident in 1805 and his mother due to tuberculosis in 1810, he and his three siblings were brought up by his uncle Richard Abbey. Realizing that his true vocation was writing, he gave up his apprenticeship to become an apothecary in 1816. After being financially independent at the age of 21 with the inheritance of his grandparents, he published his first poem, O Solitude, 1815, with the help of his friend Leigh Hunt in Examiner. It was followed by his first major poem, On Looking into Chapman's Homer, 1816. In 1818, Keats' famous long poem, Endymion, which begins with the famous line, "A thing of beauty is joy forever," got published and met with negative reviews in Blackwood and Quarterly. He met his lover, Fanny Brawne, for the first time in August the same year and got engaged the next year. In 1819, which is considered as the annus mirabilis in his career, Keats wrote the Six Odes and the Eve of St. Agnes, the Eve of St. Mark, La Belle Dame Sans Merci, and Lamia 1 and 2. In December 1819, John realized that his fate too would be no different from his mother's and younger brother Tom's, who died in 1818. In 1820, his health having further deteriorated, he moved to Wrong, bidding a tearful adieu to Fanny Brawne in search of better climate and improved health. He breathed his last in 1821 in Rome and was buried there. Shelley's famous poem, Adonis, 1821, was an elegy written in memory of his great poet friend. The major themes in the poems of Keats were the reciprocal concerns of the ephemeral nature of life in contrast to the transcendence of art, the close contrast between the imagined ideal versus the experienced real, and the pagan celebration of senseless beauty of nature. Besides these, Keats dwells in the romantic exploration of nature and its fierceness. As a person who witnessed the force of death during every stage of his life, he was preoccupied with the idea of mortality in most of his lyrics. Accordingly, he explains the inseparability of the opposites of pleasure and pain, joy and sorrow, life and death, and happiness and melancholy. Besides Keats, poetry is celebrated for the mystical female figures of love, ambition and policy against the medieval chivalrous masculine world. Keats was a romantic poet. Romanticism, a movement said to have begun with the publication of lyrical ballads by William Wordsworth and Samuel Taylor Coleridge in 1798, is defined as a principal protest against classicism. Though 1798 is considered the year that inaugurated Romanticism, romantic strains were visible in the poetry of William Blake published a decade prior to lyrical ballads. Romanticism is a kind of liberalism brought into literature following the ideals of the French Revolution, such as liberty, equality, and fraternity. Though generally critical of Enlightenment rationalism, the Romantic revival shares with Enlightenment an intense focus on the powers of the human mind. Accordingly, self-division, solitude, subjective longing, all these aspects of the subjectivity are taken as the starting point and theme of many Romantic writings. The movement in its first phase was represented by Wordsworth, Coleridge, and Southey, and in the later phase by the social revolutionaries, if not anarchists, like Lord Byron, Percy Bysshe Shelley, and John Keats. The wildness of nature, the loss of the individual within the soul, and the creative power of human imagination were so central to this later phase. Ode to Autumn, written on 19 September 1819, at the height of Keats' poetic skill, is, according to a phylaeus, about the Shakespearean theme of ripeness is all in King Lear, the acceptance of death and rebirth by death. Described by Alan Tate as a nearly perfect piece of style, the poem is an attempt to find beauty in the neglected, deglamorized aspects of nature and life, like Coleridge's dejection and Keats' On Melancholy. The critical consensus about the ode celebrate it as a peal to the season of autumn with its fruitfulness, its last, and the song of its swallows gathering for migration. In the poem, divided into three stanzas of 11 lines, written in iambic pentameter, Keats' attempt to find the beauty in the lengthening days, chilly weather, and brown fields of fall, the time just before winter squelches the last bit of warmth and everyone retreats to their fires and hot cedar. The first stanza addresses the autumn as the close bosom friend of the sun. The second describes it as a female goddess, and the third consoles it by asking to listen to its song music. The sense's synesthetic imagery of each stanza makes the poem, according to Harold Bloom, as close to perfect as any shorter poem in the English language. Now let's move on to text. Ode to Autumn. Season of mist and mellow fruitfulness, close bosom friend of the maturing sun, conspiring with him how to load and bless with fruit the vines that round the thatch eaves run, to bend with apples the mossed cottage trees, and fill all fruit with ripeness to the core, to swell the gourd and plumb the hazel shells with the sweet kernel, to set budding more and still more later flowers for the bees, until they think warm days will never cease, for summer has o'erbrimmed their clammy cells. Who hath not seen thee oft amid thy store? Sometimes whoever seeks abroad may find thee sitting careless on a granary floor, thy hair soft lifted by the winnowing wind, or on a half-reaped furrow, sound asleep, drowsed with the fume of poppies, while thy hook spares the next swath and all its twinned flowers. And sometimes, like a gleaner, thou dost keep steady thy laden head across a brook, or by a cedar press with patient look, thou watchest the last oozings, hours by hours. Where are the songs of spring? Eh, where are they? Think not of them, thou hast thy music too. While bad clouds bloom the soft dying day and touch the stubble plains with rosy hue, then in a wailful choir the small gnats mourn among the river's shallows, borne aloft or singing as the light wind lives or dies, and full-grown lambs loud bleat from hilly bourn, hedge crickets sing, and now with treble soft the red-breast whistles from a garden croft, and gathering swallows twitter in the skies. Thank you.